Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, April 10, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Kaboom. Well, I know I'll get out the crying towels. You really wanted to work this Saturday. If you really want to work that bad, I'll be here. Come on over and I'll find something for you to do. Before we get started, there is another announcement. And this is in regard to the Upland Bible Church Master Prayer List. For the past 6 weeks, there has been a notice on the top of the prayer list that requests updates on all those people you have put on the list. The request was that you review all the categories on the master list, which was sent to all of you in a separate email last week. And let us know via the church email which names should remain on and which ones can be removed. As of today, most of the names will be removed because we have not received leave on or take off notifications from you. If you have already notified us, your updates have been noted. If not, your people on the list will be deleted, and we will thank God for all the answered prayers. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have almost completed the Doctrine of the Judgment Seat of Christ, although I did go a little bit fast on the end of it last week, and so there will be a short review before we move on in verse 11. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA, the freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 John 5:10 again says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive his just due for the things while living in the body, in accordance with those things that he has done, whether it is agathos, intrinsically good, or phalos, worthless." And we have studied the judgment seat of Christ in greater detail than ever before in the past. And the last point we were on was the rewards that are given to spiritually mature believers by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. First of all, we noted that there are going to be stephanoi. Stephanoi are called crowns. And there are three categories of crowns found for believers, winner believers in the Word of God. The first two are available to all believers who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, who grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and who attain spiritual maturity. And that is the crown of righteousness and the crown of life. That's available for all believers. The last stephanos is the crown of glory, and that's available to pastor teachers only, faithful pastors who are faithful to study and teach the Word of God. And then the last and the greatest and most ultimate decoration is the Order of the Morning Star. And this is found in the book of Revelation, the Order of the Morning Star. And as you study the book of Revelation, and the Order of the Morning Star is given or stated in Revelation 2:26 and 28, it says, well, and probably in your translation, very poorly translated, the one who overcomes. That's not that what it says. It says, to the Hanukkah. That's the definite article, ha, N-I-K, long O-N, ha, nikon. This is an articular participle. The articular participle many times is a substantival participle. And as a substantival participle, it functions as a noun. So participle is a verb. But the articular participle is substantival, and now it functions as a noun. It is a substantival participle of the verb nikao. N-I-K-A long O. And nikao means to be victorious, to conquer. To conquer, to be victorious. And it's from this verb that we have the participle, ha-nikon, which means to be a victor, to be a winner, and as a noun, the victor or the winner. We have from the verb nikao, the noun, nike, N-I-K long E, which is the word for victory. So Nikao means to be victorious, to conquer. Nike is victory. The articular participle is substantival, functions as a noun. It means, correctly translated, the victor, the winner. Now the order of the morning star is found in Revelation. In Revelation 2:26, it says, to the winner, Ha Nikon. To the winner who does the will of God to the end, to him I will give authority over the nation. That's one of the privileges of the order of the morning star. Verse 28 says, I will give him the morning star. Now, I will give him the morning star. That's the greatest decoration that you can receive, the order of the morning star. And it's given, we have it only in the book of Revelation. And there might be way more than seven privileges, but there are seven privileges given to the order of the morning star, and they're all introduced with Ha Nikon. Every verse that I give you, it says, to the Ha Nikon, to the winner believer, to the victor. So the order of the morning star has all these privileges, and every one is given all the way through. How do we find these privileges? Because it says, to the Ha Nikon, to the winner believer. So these are all privileges of the order of the morning star. It's given to the Ha Nikon, the winner believer. So the seven privileges that accompany the order of the morning star are all found in the book of Revelation, and they are awarded to the Ha Nikon believer, the winner believer. This decoration is taken from and named after the Lord's special title in Revelation 22:16, where he has the title, the Bright Morning Star. So the order of the Morning Star is given to Ha Nikon believers, winner believers, as the highest of all decorations and greater grace blessings given by the Lord Jesus Christ. This decoration is awarded to those who attain and maintain the ultimate objective of having virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. This decoration is mentioned as a part of greater grace blessings for the eternal state in Revelation 2:26 and 28. The spiritually mature believer in verse 26 will not only rule during the millennial kingdom, but he will also be given the order of the morning star, verse 28. Receiving this decoration is the highest manifestation of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in the church age. The order of the morning star is named after our Lord's royal title, and is given for historical impact in the church age. It authorizes the recipient to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom and to hold the highest privileges for all eternity. There are at least seven privileges that accompany the order of the morning star. And these privileges are described in the book of Revelation, and they are given to the ha-nikon believer. They're given to the winner believer. Privilege number one is the uniform of glory. The uniform of glory is a translucent uniform of glory. It was first modeled by Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17:1-2. The uniform of glory is given as the translucent light which covers the resurrection body. And it's found in Revelation 3:4-5. And of course, it's introduced with to the ha-nikon believer, to the winner believer, is given this uniform of glory. So there will be a transformation that takes place at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believer already has the uniform of honor, which is in his soul, which is invisible. We studied the uniform of honor in Colossians 3:12-14. But now that invisible uniform of honor will be exchanged at the judgment seat of Christ for the translucent uniform of glory worn over the resurrection body of the ha-nikon believer, the winner believer. Privilege number two, the name of the winner believer appears on the honors list. And he is presented in the court of heaven while the tribulation is going on in the earth. Only those on the honor list, only the ha-nikon believer, only the winner believer are taken to heaven and presented to God the Father. The honors list is made up of those believers who accomplish the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. Privilege number three, a new order of knighthood and eternal order of chivalry will be added to the believer's name in the Lamb's Book of Life forever and ever. And again, this is this new knighthood is given to the ha-nikon believer, Revelation 2:17. And then privilege number four, the ha-nikon believer, the winner believer, will rule with Christ during the millennial kingdom. That's Revelation 2:26. It's also found in 2 Timothy 2:12 and Luke 19:17. Privilege number five, the winner's name is recorded in the permanent historical record, section because of his invisible historical impact during the church age. Revelation 3:12a. Where again we have to the ha-nikon believer, to the winner believer. The impact of the winner believer is anonymous as far as the record of human history is concerned, but not as far as God is concerned. The spiritually mature believer's historical record will be recorded forever in the heavenly temple. Each pillar will have the record of each ha-nikon believer's life, each winner believer's life. The temple of God is the eternal record center in the future. And this temple of God will be the historical textbook of the true heroes of history. The spiritually mature believer, as a part of the pivot, has great and invisible impact on history. Privilege number six, the ha-nikon believer, The winner believer receives his own coat of arms of glory. Revelation 3, verse 12b. And privilege number 7, the Ha-Nikon believer, the winner believer, will have special privileges related to the tree of life, the gazebo of the garden called the paradise of God. And again, this is seen in Revelation 2, verse 7, which addresses the Ha-Nikon believer, the winner believer. So you are a member of a special club with special parties to which only you, the Ha-Nikon believer, is invited. You are a member of the Paradise Club forever. Revelation 2, verse 7. The tree of life, then, is the ultimate in eternal reward and blessing. So, the order of the morning star, found in the book of Revelation, and all these privileges are in the verses that addresses Ha-Nikon believer. This is for the winner believer only, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. All right. So, 2 Corinthians 5, let's start the corrected translation of verse 6. Therefore, we, winner believers, we always have confidence. And we know that while we are at home in the tent of the human body, we are out of the house of the interim body or resurrection body, away from the Lord. For we, winner believers, walk by faith and absolutely not by sight. Verse 8. We, winner believers, are confident and courageous, I say, and for a far better reason, we prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, the human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, interim body, resurrection body. Verse 9. For this reason also, we, winner believers, keep on having as our goal. We keep on considering it an honor, whether in the house of our human body, phase 2, or out of the house of our human body, phase 3, to be pleasing to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive his just due for the things while living in the body in accordance with those things that he has done. Whether agathos, intrinsically good, or phallos, worthless. Though the Apostle Paul knew that his salvation and his eternal destiny were obtained by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the thought of one day standing before his Savior, standing before the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, that overwhelmed the Apostle Paul. It was the contemplation of that moment that motivated Paul to keep on keeping on. Tremendous self-determination to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. so that he might love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that he might have personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all, and especially occupation with Jesus Christ, to have the Lord Jesus Christ at home in his heart, because it is going to be before the Lord Jesus Christ that we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 5:11. Knowing the fear of the Lord. Now, I have always started with the King James translation, and sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's absolutely terrible. And here it is absolutely terrible. The King James says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. How many of you want to know the terror of the Lord? You might come under the terror of the Lord, but how many of you want to know the terror of the Lord? I sure as hell don't. This is the post-positive conjunction, un, plus the verb oida, plus the accusative singular of phobos with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of kurios with the definite article. The post-positive conjunction, un. O-U-N. Un. It's an inferential un. And you can translate this so, consequently, then, or therefore. And we will translate it therefore. And then we have, it's a very unique verb in the Greek, oida. O-I-D-A. Very unique. It is a frozen form. It is a perfect that's used as a present. So this verb says you have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know Bible doctrine now in the present. And again, this is talking about the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer. So, one, the Apostle Paul has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and he has advanced to spiritual maturity. He has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and has advanced to spiritual maturity. Two, and therefore, Paul has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. And that maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart means he's learned all about these doctrines, such as the doctrine of fearing the Lord. He's learned the fact that there is two categories of fearing the Lord that are positive. Category one, fear of the Lord, which is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, and that is humility. The only way you can ever grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the only way you can ever attain spiritual maturity, is you must have the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, and that is humility. You must have respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor teacher who teaches it. If you don't have humility, if you're arrogant and you think you know everything, you will never, ever, ever attain spiritual maturity. You will never grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
and you will be a loser believer forever, and you'll stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ and be full of shame, embarrassment, and regrets because you totally failed in your life in the short time while you were here. So, therefore, Paul has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. 3. Paul has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. 4. Therefore, Paul has learned about the doctrine of the fear of the Lord. He's learned about it in the past with the result that Paul knows the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present. It's reality. It's certainty in his soul. Five, fearing the Lord, occupation with Christ, is the great motivator in Paul's life, motivating him to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. Fearing the Lord, occupation with Christ, is the great motivator in Paul's life, motivating him to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. And that should be your thinking, all of you. You're here. God has the most amazing, fantastic plan for your life. God has the greatest plan for your life. And when you realize that, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can do your own thing. And there's a lot of Christians out doing their own thing. You can be functioning and operating by your own plan. But I'll tell you right now, your plan is the horrible plan compared to God's plan for your life. The greatest plan of all for your life is God's plan for your life. And yet most Christians today are fulfilling their own plan for their life, doing their own thing. And they wind up losers in life, and losers at the judgment seat of Christ. But fearing the Lord, occupation with Christ, is the great motivator in Paul's life, motivating him to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. And then we have Phobos. Phobos, we get our word phobia, English word phobia, from phobos. And it has, it's used in a negative way in the Word of God, and it's used in a positive way in the Word of God. In the negative meaning, phobos means fear as a mental attitude sin. And of course, we've been studying, we're right at, in the passage now in 1 John on Thursday night, that virtue love drives out all mental attitude sins of fear. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have no fear, no mental attitude sin of fear in your life over anything. No matter what, you don't have fear about what's going on in the world. You don't have fear about what's going on in the United States. You don't have fear about what's going on in your marriage, in your family, at work. The mental attitude sin of fear is gone when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And if you have the mental attitude sin of fear, you do not have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. If you're afraid about some problems you have in your life,
your health, your illness, some disease, whatever, then you don't have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that drives out all mental attitude, sin, or fear. That's our Thursday night class. That's right where we are. So we have a dovetail between Wednesday night and Thursday night class. So Faba says, used as a negative way for the mental attitude, sin, or fear. And when you have the mental attitude, sin, or fear, you are out of fellowship with God. You're not living the spiritual life when you have the mental attitude, sin, or fear. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. You have no spiritual life when you have the mental attitude, sin, or fear. It's not there. When you're living the spiritual life, when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you will not have the mental attitude, sin, or fear. Okay, you have times of prosperity, you have times of adversity. You might be in suffering for blessing, that great, greater grace blessing called suffering for blessing, only given to winner believers, only to winner believers, because they have out on the flat line of their soul, forward line of troops, God's problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure, so that they can clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And the winner believer only. The loser believer has punitive suffering, divine discipline. That's what most believers have today. They have suffering, but it's punitive suffering. It's self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. That characterizes the suffering of almost all believers in America today. But the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, is qualified to receive suffering for blessing. And he has the problem-solving devices out on the forward line of troops of his soul so that he, with precisely correct procedure, clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorifies God. No matter what's going on in his life, no matter what the testing is. And as we get older, well, we have two phases to our life. We're only here a short time. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, from that point of salvation to physical death, you have two phases, the living phase and the dying phase. And the winner believer glorifies God in the living phase of his life, and he glorifies God in the dying phase of his life. It makes no difference whether he is in the living phase or the dying phase. He glorifies God in his life, living and dying. For the winner believer, to live is Christ and to die is profit, gain. The winner believer, you could have go to the doctor and he says, you have terminal illness, you have cancer, you have 2 weeks to live, 2 months to live, you have 2 years to live. Makes no difference. You have that peace which transcends all human understanding. You have Jesus Christ at home in your heart. You share the happiness of God. It has nothing to do with pain, because winner believers have pain and loser believers have pain. It has nothing to do with pain, just that the winner believer has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The winner believer has occupation with Christ. The winner believer shares the happiness of God. The winner believer has that peace which transcends all human understanding. The winner believer knows that one hand's being held by God the Father, the other hand's being held by Jesus Christ. The winner believer knows that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Occupation with Jesus Christ. And he glorifies God, living and dying. No fear, no mental attitude, sin of fear.
But when you have the mental attitudes to interfere, you're out of fellowship with God, you have no spiritual life, and you're living in Satan's cosmic system. Now, there is also the positive meaning of phobos. And there's two categories of the positive meaning. First of all, fear is category number one, fear of the Lord, which is humility. The foundational virtue of the spiritual life. Before you will ever develop the other virtues of the spiritual life, you must first of all have the foundational virtue, humility. Respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. And then the second category, category number two of fearing the Lord, that is a synonym for occupation with Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord Jesus Christ has made Himself at home in your heart. The greatest, it's the best, moment by moment, day by day, Jesus Christ is at home in your heart and you're enjoying Him moment by moment, day by day. And then we have kurios. K-U-R-I-O-S, Lord. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the corrected translation, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past. This is oida, our frozen form oida. Therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that I know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present, I have category one, fear of the Lord, genuine humility, and category two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. That's a hell of a lot better translation than know therefore the terror of the Lord, see. Therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past with the result that I know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present, I have category one, fear of the Lord, genuine humility, the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, and category two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ. So the doctrine of the fear of the Lord. The doctrine of the fear of the Lord. Note point one, definition and description. Definition and description, point one. One, to fear the Lord means to have reverential respect for God. To fear the Lord means to have reverential respect for God. Two, there are two categories of positive uses of the phrase to fear the Lord. Category one, fear of the Lord, describes the believer who has the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, humility. And if you don't have humility, then you're arrogant. If you're arrogant, you're a loser. You're in the cosmic system. You're functioning under Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So the winner believer has humility, the loser believer is arrogant. There are two positive uses of the phrase, the fear of the Lord, and that's category one, fear of the Lord, describes the believer who has the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. All the other virtues are developed if you have the foundational virtue of humility. And then category two, fear of the Lord, describes the believer who has attained spiritual maturity. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Category two, fear of the Lord, describes the believer who has attained spiritual maturity and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Three, it describes the believer who has personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ from maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. And how did he get that maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart? Because of the foundational virtue of humility. He found a sound Bible teaching church and then had the self-discipline to assemble consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So four, therefore, to fear the Lord is virtue directed toward God. Therefore, to fear the Lord is virtue directed toward God in the form of personal love for God the Father and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, which is occupation with Christ. Five, therefore, category number two, fear of the Lord, is a synonym for spiritual maturity. It's a synonym for spiritual maturity. Point two, we're commanded to fear the Lord. It's not an option, it's a mandate. We are commanded to fear the Lord. A mandate for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You brought your Bibles? Great. Turn over to Deuteronomy 6. We are commanded to fear the Lord. This isn't an option. It's a mandate. Verse 13, Deuteronomy 6:13. This is imperative. Mood. Fear the Lord your God and serve Him only. Verse 13. Look over at verse 24. The Lord commanded us. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive. As is the case today. Turn over to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 6. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, the mandates, walking in His ways, and to fear Him. To fear the Lord. Turn over to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's mandates and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. And then verse 20.
Fear the Lord your God and serve Him. And then turn over to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. It is the Lord your God you must follow and fear Him. Keep His mandates and obey Him. Serve Him and hold fast to Him. And turn over to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, if you have wisdom, if you have metabolized doctrine in your heart, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Point three. The believer must be taught to fear the Lord. At the moment of salvation and faith in Jesus Christ, you did not fear the Lord because you were saved. You have to be taught. Just because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that does not mean that you fear the Lord. The believer must learn to fear the Lord. And this is accomplished only one way: consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. The believer who fears the Lord is the believer who has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Turn back to Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy 6. And of course, who is the one communicating this over and over and over again? The greatest Old Testament believer, Moses. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. These are the mandates. These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you. To teach you. You have to be taught these things. You have to be taught Bible doctrine. You have to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God. But it has to be taught. Doctrine is taught and taught and taught by faithful communicators, and you with humility have to consistently and faithfully assemble and learn and believe and learn and believe and learn and believe so that you may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and mandates that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Turn over to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Assemble the people, the men, the women, and the children,
And the aliens, you want to get those aliens in there. Just landed you. Living in your towns. So why? So they can listen and learn. Listen and learn. What are you listening and what are you learning? To fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law, they must hear it and learn. Learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, my children, and listen. Listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And turn over to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. That is your essence, who and what you are, fearing the Lord. So the believer must be taught to fear the Lord. Point four, and we'll stop with this tonight. Bible doctrine is the number one priority in the life of the believer who fears the Lord. Bible doctrine is the number one priority in the life of the believer who fears the Lord. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Happinesses. Happinesses to the man who fears the Lord. Occupation with Jesus Christ. That one who finds great delight in his mandates, the Word of God, because he finds great delight in the Word of God because it's the number one priority in his life. When Bible doctrine is the number one priority in your life, you find great delight in the Word of God. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.